In the name of Jesus, my good friend, you may wonder why the Dean of Chapel has set aside two chapel services for the Spanish ministry. Well, that's our emphasis today again. And I suppose Bob and I were talking about it before we came out, and Bob gave me the answer. He said there are more of them. And to be sure, as we look about our country today, we realize that we are going to be surrounded more and more by Christians and non-Christians who speak the Spanish tongue. However, rather than try to take the place of the man who, because of illness, was supposed to occupy his pulpit this morning, Dr. Carlos Cruz, who is our counselor for Hispanic ministry for our church body, I'd like to read a text and emphasize what I think has been brought to our attention in these past weeks, the necessity and the importance of using the many tongues of mankind to proclaim the gospel. From Philippians chapter 2, that famous verse about the humiliation and exaltation of Christ, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Anyone who's stopping in these past weeks or perhaps listening on the radio would wonder if the power of Babel has come to Concordia Seminary. It has been very interesting, as I think back to my own seminary days, more years ago than I care to remember, this would have been doubtless. We really didn't have anyone on campus to speak to us in Korean. I don't think at that time we even had anyone to do as Professor Pisani did, to speak to us by moving his hand. And if someone had said, someone will speak to you in Epic, we would have wondered what that was, perhaps some new attempt in Hebrew. But we heard it in these past weeks. We have heard Korean and Spanish and Nigerian Epic. It has been truly wonderful. And indeed, as we consider the whole matter of human tongues as it relates to the work of the church, we return first of all to see the diversity of tongues, the marvel of speech, as a peculiarity of humanity. Indeed, as we think of it, we don't often think of it, we use all of these signs unconsciously, perhaps. And yet, the Lord has endowed us with a remarkable ability. In our homiletics class, we play around with this a little bit. I try to make my students conscious of what's going on when we speak various languages. I teach them, for instance, about the hunting tongue. We don't realize that our bodies are marvelously complex. And the speech is a matter of moving the thoracic cavity, our lungs, and passing air over a marvelous instrument. Someone has called the human voice the most beautiful of all instruments, of shaping our lips and teeth and tongues, of using our nose, our facial muscles, the glint of the eye, all of this communicates senses. We try, for instance, to see what happens when you say some kind of compliment. You can do it quietly if you'd like. You may not be conscious when you say a voice nasal compliment. That becomes an M. And all of a sudden, you need your teeth and your lips. You can't say M without those, your teeth and the lips. Or if you want to change it to an M, all of a sudden, that's what happens to your tongue. Suddenly, just move yourself up against the inner side of your upper bank. And if you want to use your palate now, because that's an important part of your speech that the Lord has given you, and say, all of a sudden your tongue humps and backs, doesn't it, and it's pressing against that high palate. Those are only instances of this marvelous instrument that we can do so many things with. If you you'd like to try some Bible, you can see what happens to your tongue when you say "Amen." And you've got a hump and thump. Or if you say "A" as an "A," and suddenly that tongue humps in the middle. But if you say "Ah," all of a sudden the hump moves to the back. I'm not giving a speech, a lecture in speech mechanism. What I'd like to say is that on the one hand, we do glory in the human ability, the superiority, to speak from any language. And in addition to that, languages have a romance of their own. I still delight to hear our Nigerian brethren and our brethren from India who speak English with a decidedly British tone to it, not exactly like an Englishman. And whenever I hear that, I hear dignity. And yet, when I hear my Hispanic friends speak some of the words they use, suddenly I see flashing eyes back or girls dancing at a fiesta. I think that our languages certainly can bring forth all kinds of emotions. Well, the problem, however, is that languages, secondly, are really a problem. And we know where they arose. I had a little time yesterday reminding my colleagues of Genesis chapter 11, the first verse, and it's a good verse for a preacher to hear, I think. Now the whole earth had one language and few words. That was considered a happy state of affairs. Well, of course, that chapter brings us to the story of the power of Babel and where our various languages came from. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language." And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And therefore we see that languages, the variety of languages, as dreadful as they may be, are still not of God's displeasure with human pride and human sinfulness. And therefore, we see this barricade that God has set up, and we realize that all of our lives we shall struggle against it. The bitterness of language has been tasted by many a high school or college student, trying to figure out the complexities of Latin or Hebrew or Greek or German or French or whatever. And I think we need to keep this in mind. That language, the tongue, needs to be redeemed. But in themselves, the variety of languages are God's, a mark of God's judgment. They were a punishment and a barricade to stop humanity from using its oneness to reject a God. So tongue, language, this ability to make all of these sounds, whatever they may be, certainly can be and often are demonized. You remember how the Apostle James said, "And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous word among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by humankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. Wickedly bless the Lord and Father, and wickedly curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not so to be." I think we need to realize that. And this is what I mean by saying that language, which can so often be used contrary to the will of God, needs to be redeemed. Needs to be used once again in the service of God, to honor God and glorify God. So often it's used to deceive, to confuse, to confound. We've seen that again just recently in the prolonged dealings regarding the hostages. The things had to be translated from English into French into Farsi and back and forth, and they still perhaps are disagreement and even bitterness and hatred because of the barrier of language. Therefore, our languages and our tongues need to be redeemed. And if I have a point at all today, I have to carry forth to you exactly this. You see, languages as a responsibility, and as a challenge, and as an opportunity to be redeemed, as they are used to glorify the Lord. Our text gives us a promise, perhaps a command, a prediction, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. Perhaps this is a synecdoche. Tongues don't confess, but people use their tongues to confess. And this is the ultimate use of human communication, whatever it may be. How I regret that we have heard, and perhaps will again in a few moments, my Hispanic brethren speak of Jesus Christus. And I marvel that they make it all one word in that sense. And I marvel to hear my brother from Nigeria, Pastor Ikai, speak the benediction of the tree that he used, Jehovah, when he said Lord. And it interests me that then in Spanish, when you have to say Lord, you say, what is mystery, right? Yes and yes. It's very fascinating and interesting, but we have heard language redeemed. The great phrases of our Lord, Paul said, in whatever language, this is how it should be used. And as far as the tradition is concerned, our Lord in his church places it upon us. Go into all the world. That's not easy. It's expensive, but above all, it requires the knowledge of languages and the willingness to use them to study. As we move more and more into Hispanic ministry and it is growing in this country, in the last 2 years alone, it has almost doubled in terms of new stations being opened. We just heard, Bob was just telling me this morning, there are the Georgia district of Japan, just recently, to open another state. More and more people who are Anglo will need to learn Spanish and proclaim the name of the Lord in it, which will have to be speak. More and more people who speak Spanish can teach them theology that they may indeed say the name of the Lord. Whatever the cost, ultimately, they shall be one time, as we see in Revelation 7, when finally the redeemed stand before the throne of every nation and every tribe, and shall claim the glory of the King and the Lamb upon the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life eternal. Amen.